Is someone you know struggling with their high school or college level math course? Math Mastery Tutoring is a locally owned Fort Wayne business that can provide the help that they need. When you schedule a session at mathmasterytutoring.org, you will receive individualized tutoring with the owner of the business who has over 30 years experience helping students gain mastery in their math courses. Visit mathmasterytutoring.org today for rates, availability, testimonials, and to schedule your session with the calculus coach. Again, that's mathmasterytutoring.org. Go check them out.
That's right. Ricardo's Rules of Resilience. Tune in, people. Every episode is impactful. You become more burly just by listening. Let's go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. I'm your co-host, Coach Alton, along with Coach Ricardo. And today, you guys, we're talking about a special topic as we close out Season 2. One of the main themes that our guests brought up is helping others helps yourself. So we're going to dive in deeper into this topic as we close out Season 2 of the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience. And as we transition into Season 3, we got tons of super exciting guests that have awesome topics that they're going to be bringing on, super awesome perspectives, and we're going to be introducing t-shirts that are actually going to have the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience on them, and we're going to be offering some other services if you're looking for more resilience tools in your daily life. So we're going to have a link to a survey in the description of this episode, so if you can please fill out that survey so we can better understand how to better serve you. So, Coach, helping others helps myself. Tell us a little bit more about this rule.
Tell you, I'm so excited about Season 3. I can't stand it. I mean, I want to already tell everybody, we got this guest and this guest. I could take the rest of the podcast about all the guests we have lined up for Season 3 and just incredible people with incredible stories. I'm just out of my head with excitement. And of course, we're going to continue to do sessions like this where we just deep dive into some of the rules of resilience and help people better understand those. I hate to stop. Do we have to stop? You told me we had to stop. But we're just going to take this brief pause and come back to Season 3. And there's going to be so many good in your way that are going to help you. And they will be super helpful for us, you know, as we determine, you know, what would best serve people, if it's an email or a daily text, or if we're, you know, help you out with a newsletter or what that is. So filling out that survey will help us really dial in how to serve you. And isn't it exciting growth? How many people have jumped aboard with this?
Yeah, it's super cool to see how our community is starting to grow on our social media platforms, starting to gain more followers, and it's awesome to see all the guests that we've had, and it's just so cool to see how we've been able to connect and network and get on even more guests that have a deeper perspective and more insight on resilience, and we're just going to continue to dig deeper into this super broad topic of resilience that everyone struggles with and giving people those tools of resilience. So super fired up for Season 3 of that, so we can continue to just dig deeper into this topic of resilience.
Like the lessons and the guests we've had so far, Season 2, I could just, I like the whole episode just recapping, you know, those crazy deep insights from Yvette and Mark Jones and Yancey and Robin, and I mean the list is unbelievable. And if we could compile them all, I feel like we had a greatest hits, like Season 1's greatest hits, but Season 3, exciting, and people are resonating. I mean, we see that growth. We see more people, like you said, giving us those likes and followings on social media and the downloads and the views on YouTube. It's really good to know that what we're doing is helping people and it's resonating with you. So let's give them some more. Are you ready? I'm finally ready.
Let's do it. Yeah, without further ado, helping others helps me. So now, if we can finally get the answer to what this means to you, Coach.
You can finally get it. Yes. We talk about resilience. And again, if you're a longtime listener with us, you know that resilience is the ability to withstand and recover from difficulties. And so if I'm withstanding a difficulty or recovering from a difficulty, it doesn't matter. The absolute best thing that I can do is help others. That helped me withstand difficult times in my life when I feel like I just can't take it anymore, can't keep going. Amazing what will happen if I'll get my eyes off myself and start looking to help somebody else. And the same thing when I feel like life has beat me up. Started the season talking about transitions. Maybe it's an unwanted transition, end of a relationship, end of a job, a move that you didn't want to have to make, friendship. Sometimes these unwanted transitions can leave us reeling, and we need to recover from those. And the best thing that I can do when I'm down is help somebody else. And we found this out in the recent episode, right? We got to hear Mr. Get Burly himself, Mike Aaron, discuss what do you do when you got down and you're hurting and you can't keep going and they're going through these exhausting trials. And what day? It's off yourself and on a teammate, right? You remember that?
Mm-hmm. One sec.
If you'll recall earlier in this season, just in a very recent episode, we heard Mr. Get Burly himself, Michael Caron, preview this rule for us that helping others helps you, because we were asking what you do when you're going through these impossible situations and people are ready to give up. And do you remember his answer?
Yeah, I do. Take your eyes off yourself and on to put them on to someone else.
That's right. Get your eyes on a teammate and start helping. A perfect example of how helping others helps me more. Right. So we give away, and sometimes we think, I can't possibly give to somebody else. I'm barely holding on. And we find out when we give to somebody else, we have more to hold on with. The most powerful story of this, I believe, is Bill W., the founder of AA. Alcoholics Anonymous has helped millions of people around the world recover their lives from addiction. And of course, AA has now NA and Gamblers Anonymous, and people who have suffered from addictions to various things have found help through the 12-step program. But Bill W., back in 1930s, I think it was like 36, 37, he was trying to get sober, and he found that he needed the help of God. And he needed to surrender it, but he needed the help of others. And as he was trying to maintain this sobriety that he would have, he actually at one point was calling through the church directory and trying to find people struggling with their addiction. Because when he felt this obsessive urge to drink, he found that if he would just call another alcoholic and talk to them and deal with them and help them through, that it helped him even more. And now the tradition in AA, all these years later, 90 years later, is that you sponsor someone. That part of what you're doing to maintain your own sobriety is to help somebody else get through. And if you go to a first step meeting and you say, I'm here for the first time, you're going to leave with a list of phone numbers, strangers you've never met before in your life, don't know you at all, will give you their phone number and will tell you, you call me. It doesn't matter if it's 2 a.m, you call me when you have that urge to drink, because they know that helping you is a part of helping themselves. And for people of faith, we've been told this 2,000 years ago. The master said, it's more blessed or happy to give than to receive. I've got the bigger blessing when I give. I've got the bigger happiness when I give than when I receive. He didn't say receiving's bad. He didn't say don't let anybody give anything to you. He didn't say it's not good to receive. He said, as happy as you are when somebody gives you something, it's more blessed, it's more happy when you give than when you receive. So even though receiving can make you feel really good, like on Christmas morning, you get that special gift, you know a lot of thought was put into it, means a lot to you, as happy as that is, it's more happy to give away to someone else, and it fills your tank more and helps you more.
I love throwing it back to another great episode from season two with Yvette Salva talking about when she was struggling with addiction, all the people that she was even a little bit weary about it because she wasn't used to people in her life just giving her help without wanting something, right? She was so used to in the normal world where I give you something and I expect something back in return. We live in a very transactional world with that. So it was really great perspective from that, and I love the perspective also. And you mentioned Michael Caron from Get Burly, taking your eyes off of yourself and onto someone else. And we're so wrapped up in everything that's going around with us, it just kind of festers, and our perspective really creates our reality, right? So if we're continuously focusing on all the problems, that's just going to grow and just be everything that we see all around us, right?
Yeah.
But if we're putting that onto other people's struggles, like maybe my teammate is probably, if I'm looking at his struggles, my struggles don't look so big compared to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's people in the world that can't walk, right? I have that benefit. Like, my struggles don't really compare to someone who's paralyzed or who's in a hospital bed, who has a terminal illness, right? It really changes that perspective in our head and really changes our reality when we change that perspective inside our own heads for that. And then going back to, for myself personally, helping others, definitely. As a coach, that's one of the biggest things. You're taking people from point A over to point B, and I just love helping other people reach that goals, and it helps myself as well because I gain perspective about the struggles, how I can relate to them and how I can help them overcome those struggles helps me to personally overcome those similar struggles. Like, a perfect example of that is food journaling. A lot of the people that I've coached over the years have struggled with consistently food journaling, and me myself, I've struggled with consistently food journaling, but helping people through that has helped to give me personal strategies on how I can consistently make that a part of my daily routine.
You know, and for you, it was really amazing. You know, as people have been listening for a while know that earlier this summer we sold the family business, a brick and mortar gym and fitness business. And but you started out, let's see, I think you were still 16 when you first started training as a coach. And, you know, here you are, this junior in high school, 16 years old. You hadn't even had a driver's license that long. And, you know, people 10 and 20 and 30 and then 50 years older than you were coaching them. And instead of being dismissed and written off, you've actually had people that still talk about the influence that you had in their life. I saw a guy, you know, recently after we sold the business, I saw a guy downtown, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And he just, you know, "I just really want to thank you and Alton. You know, you guys have been such a big influence and so much help in my life." And so just talk about, you know, those relationships, how it was that you went from being this kid who knew nothing to someone that clients are still saying to you, you know, and that's just one of many, but clients are still treating you like a long lost friend. What was that process?
I think probably the biggest thing that goes into that is just you got to serve unconditionally. You can't really expect a certain result to come out, as we know in fitness and through working out and in sport. You're not really going to get the results that you feel as though you deserve through training. And I feel like it's similar when you're serving others. If you're going in with that transactional mindset, oh, if I help this person, then I'm going to get all this fame and accolades and money out of that. You can't really go into it with that. And the majority of the people that you're going to coach, unfortunately, the reality of it is most of them are going to end up quitting no matter how good of a coach you are. I've been coaching for about 5 years now, and I still haven't learned the trick that makes people work out 3 days a week and eats healthy and does everything that you tell them to do, right?
Right.
It's just the reality of the situation. So you just have to serve unconditionally with no expectations of the results. You just continuously, even if they've failed previously, you just keep serving them, keep trying to find ways for them for them to improve in their lifestyle and fitness journey.
Mm-hmm.
You just really can't expect the results, because if you're focused on those results and in that transactional mindset, it's really going to disappoint you, and you're going to stop doing it because you're not going to see the return on investment that you're expecting.
Yeah, that is actually one of the pitfalls that keeps people from giving. I was just having this discussion a week or two ago with the guy, letting him know that if you will give away to others, you're going to find that it benefits you more. And his objection was, I try to help other people, and these guys around me, just they're not wanting it. You know, they don't do anything with it. And that is a common objection to why I don't help people. What are they going to waste it? You know, even if I give away to the homeless person, are they going to just use it on drugs? You know, something like that. All the way up to, if I invest my time in somebody, are they going to even use it or squander it? And so it's a reasonable objection to why I'm not going to give away. But what I explained to this gentleman a couple of weeks ago was, look, you're talking about loaning. I'm talking about giving. In other words, if I hand my phone right here to you and say, yeah, you can borrow my phone and make your phone call or, you know, text for a ride or whatever, you can do that, but then I want it back. I'm not saying you can keep my phone, right? You got to give it back. That's a loan. But I'm talking about giving away and saying, Here, this is yours. Take it. Do with it what you want. And I am good just having known that I gave it. I gave selfishly, giving, knowing that I need to fight greed in my heart. I need to fight isolation in my heart. I need to make sure that I'm not holding on. And as you said, inward focus, navel gazing. I, me, my, look at my problems. I got to get ahead. I need to know. I need to, for my own sake and my own health, give to you with no expectation of anything in return. And so obviously that limits what I can give, because I can loan a whole lot more than I can give, right? I can loan you my phone. I can loan my phone to anybody that needs it. I can do that 50 times a day. Oh, you need to make a call? Oh, you need to text for a ride? Oh, you need to search something? Here, I can loan my phone away 50 times a day. I can't give my phone away. I'm actually, I can't even give it away once a day. Right? So it limits what I give just by virtue of the fact that I'm giving, not loaning. And so I can only give what I can afford to give. Sometimes that's more than I think, right? Sometimes it's more than I think what I can give, but I've got to make sure that I can give this away and not need it back. If it's advice, can I give you advice in such a way that it's only for your help? If you don't take it, you don't take it. Can I give you time? Can I help you move? Right? Can I cook and prepare a meal for you because a loved one is in the hospital and you just need that right now? But I don't need you to cook one for me when I'm in a hard time. I don't need it back. I'm just giving for the sake of giving. That's what we have to realize. We're not loaning, we're giving.
One of the important things I feel like it is to look at the intention of the giver. So if you yourself are giving something, to look inwardly and look at your intentions of giving. Are you doing it to be some, to look all proud and mighty and, oh, I'm helping others and look at me, I'm so great for doing this? Or are you doing it out of, because I want to love my neighbor as Jesus has called us to do. I want to love the people around me and I want to serve them, right? And a great example of this in the Bible is when they were at a church and people were giving donations and all these wealthy men were proudly giving away just vast amounts of money. And this widow comes in and she puts in a single coin of this called a mite that is super small in value, super little, not a lot of value to it. The wealthy men were kind of looking down upon this woman because they had given out such vast amounts of money, whereas she had just put in a single coin of super little value, right? But Jesus said, blessed is she because she gave out of poverty, whereas the other men had given out of abundance. And I feel like that's just so powerful because her intention of the woman, of the widow, was not to just simply give and look at me, I'm giving out so much. She gave as much as she could because she lived in poverty, right? And it's so important. Are you giving because, oh, I want to look cool, I want people to think I'm a great, generous person? Mm-hmm. Or are you giving because that's what we're called to do and that's what we need to do?
Yeah, I think that's a great story. I had no idea you were going to bring that up today, but what a perfect illustration, because she gave an embarrassingly little amount. I mean, can you imagine? Here are people walking up, dropping bags of money into the offering, and everybody's looking at them like, oh my goodness, they just gave away my month's salary. You know, whoa, and they're impressed. And she has to walk up and give something so embarrassingly little that nobody consider, you know, it's just tiny. It'd be like putting a nickel or a couple of pennies in the plate, and everybody saw it, right? And so, yeah, that is a wonderful example of she gave what she could, and she gave for the right reasons, not so that people would look at her and say, oh, look at all she's doing to make a difference in the community. Look at how big of a pillar of support she is to this church or this synagogue or this faith community. She gave an embarrassing little amount, but she did what she knew she needed to do so that even in poverty, greed would not rule her heart. That's a beautiful example.
Definitely love that story, and it definitely helps in this topic. And if when people are coming up with some objections and reasons not to give, one of the things people may say is, I feel as though the gifts that I'm giving people are simply just being wasted. I gave them, I gave them a lawnmower, and it's just sitting rusting away in the garage. What would you tell to those people when they feel as though the giving they're doing is not really going to use?
Yeah, the thing to keep in mind is I've got to, like you just said, I've got to give for the sake of giving. I've got to give to fight the greed in my own heart. I've got to give in order to take my eyes off myself and not to give for a result. Because when I give thinking that I want an outcome, of course, I desire an outcome, and we've talked about that before. A good desire can become a bad goal, right? But when I'm giving and I have this goal of making something happen outside of myself, then I can get really disillusioned very quickly, because people are not always going to take that gift and use it the way you hoped. But I've got to check my own motives and my own heart and stop and say, hey, you know what? I'm giving because it's the right thing to do. I provided the opportunity. I fought the greed in my heart that said, hold on. I fought with myself instead of gazing at myself and all my problems. I went and tried to in some way contribute to alleviating someone else's problems. I took the time to go and meet with that person, have coffee with that person, and they didn't listen to a thing I said, right? Or I helped somebody, you know, get out of a really bad situation, and you know, within a day, a week, a month, whatever, they were right back in it. But you know what? I did the right thing. I provided the opportunity, and that was the right thing to do. So I've got to do things for the sake of, as you've already said, for the sake of doing the right thing, for the sake of helping and keeping my heart and mind in the right spot, and not for the sake of, well, it has to be an outcome. Is it okay to want an outcome? Yeah, we like we said, desire, a good desire is fine. It's fine to hope that this is really going to change a person's life or make a difference. But the only goal I can have into that is to do the right thing.
Definitely. And you have no idea, maybe they didn't use the gift that you wanted in that way, but you have no idea what God may be doing in that person's life, how that gift might have moved their heart in a certain way or pushed them a little bit closer to the ultimate action that is being desired. You have no idea how that gift may be getting used. And another common objection to this rule may be that people have so much going on in their life, there's so much stress, and they're so worried about just surviving on a daily basis. What do you tell to those people that feel as though they got nothing left to give, and everything they have they need for themselves for survival mode?
Yeah, you know, boundaries are an issue there. So it can be a boundary issue in that case, that you know, you'll hear people say, I've just given and given and And I can't go around taking care of people like that because then I'm left with nothing. And so, you know, we're not here suggesting that you need to have unhealthy boundaries. One of the biggest boundaries that you should set up is to say, okay, I'm going to give my time. I'm going to give money. I'm going to help other people. I am going to give, but I'm not going to give more than I can afford to give, right? So if someone needs help moving, let's say, could I take an evening and do that? Yes. Should I take a personal day off work? Well, maybe. It depends on the situation. But, you know, if you don't have enough days that, you know, you're going to end up without salary you need, or it's an unpaid day and you need to take care of your bills and that's going to endanger that, then no, have a healthy boundary that you need to meet your own responsibilities first and then give, right? Same thing with money. You know, I mean, if to be a little bit ridiculous about it, if I see a homeless person, you know, could I buy them a sandwich or something to help them? Or maybe I'm just in a hurry and I just need to give them $5 and it's on them how they spend it. You know, it depends on a person's conscience. But do I need to do that? Is that good? Yes, I can afford to do that. I can't go rent them an apartment. You know, I mean, maybe some of our listeners out here could, but I personally can't. I've got to have the boundary of giving in a healthy way, in a way that's going to help someone. And so, you know, should I maybe be willing to meet with somebody once a week or once a month that's going through a hard time right now and they need a listening ear? Yes. Do I need to be meeting with them every day and constantly texting and phone calling, and so much so that my own family relationships are strained because I'm not a good father, or you're not a good wife, or you know, you're not present at work? No. We still need to have those healthy boundaries, but we tend to fall off. What happens is we feel like, oh, I gave and gave and gave. I gave so much that now it's me time. I got to just take care of me. I can't help nobody. And that's just as bad. Neither one are healthy. The healthy part is in the middle of I'm helping, I'm giving. I'm not all focused on myself. I'm helping you out, but I'm taking care of my responsibilities first. Again, we mentioned scripture and it says that, you know, each one of us needs to carry our own load, but bear one another's burdens. If somebody's got a burden and life is tough right now, I can come alongside them and help them. But they need to carry their own daily load, and I need to carry my own daily load. Helping hurts when I'm giving to someone who needs to be taken care of something for themselves. It's not a burden. It's their load. It's getting through life that they need to take care of. And that can be difficult to distinguish, right? Because sometimes someone's burden, you know, the death of a loved one, dealing with an addiction, loss of a job, someone's burden can affect their ability to carry their load. And so that can be a tough line to discern. It takes a lot of wisdom. Takes a lot of prayer, takes advice from others, but we do need to have healthy boundaries. We're not telling you not to do that.
I feel like one of the big things to remember when giving gifts is that it doesn't necessarily have to be something monetary, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't have to be money or a certain purchase that you give somebody. It can be, there's other ways to gift gifts, like such as your time, mm-hmm. just helping serve someone, volunteering, like you said, to help move their stuff, move to a new home or something like that. Or maybe if you have wisdom or advice in a certain expertise or field, giving that person your advice and your wisdom in that area is another way of gifting gifts. There's so many different ways that we can go past the monetary, the way we normally look at gifts of monetary gifts. There's a lot more that we have to offer. You just got to kind of get a little creative and think outside of the box when thinking of those. Maybe it's I have kids and I have one of my kids can help babysit for you, so you can do X, Y, or Z, right? There's ways to think outside of the box with that. And another great episode from season 2, Bobby Petras came on, and one of the questions we ask at the end is one thing they'd like to tell people, and his thing was to not be a jerk. I think it was a different of a word, but I'll just say jerk
yeah.
for now.
Yeah.
And, just it kind of ties in with this is you'd expect someone who's super successful in business to kind of give you this cutthroat business kind of approach to the world, but his the way that he was able to rise to and have a successful he owns several successful businesses is just to be to help others. It's about building relationships, and that ties in with gifting gifts. When you're gifting gifts and helping others, you're building relationships, you're building your network.
That's right.
There's so many other guests on season two that we could call out and focus in on. I mean, JP Mohn is another great example of this with his friend that helped him to develop the RAM, the product that we all know and love now. And there's several other examples from season two, which was an awesome season. And I'm super pumped for all the guests that we got on, what we're going to have in season three as we transition into that next season.
Yes. I think you're exactly right that we've got to get creative to take our eyes off of ourselves and our own problems. So, you know, how do you get creative? You know, if you're going through a season of loneliness, who do you know that's lonely? You know, could you take some time and call a couple of nursing homes around and say, hey, is there anybody there that needs a visitor? And you just stop in and, you know, maybe take them a couple of Hershey's Kisses and listen to them tell a couple of stories. And you don't have to say anything. You don't have to have, you don't have to solve any of their problems. You can just give them the gift of a listening ear and help them with loneliness. And you'll be amazed what happens in your own heart with your own loneliness. You know, it's with getting in shape. You know, if you're having trouble sticking to your workouts, look around. Who could really use some accountability, and how could you help them? And you'll just be amazed that when you start helping somebody else, they consistent with their workouts, how much it helps you. The list goes on and on, right? So, you're struggling financially, and maybe you can't give a lot, but maybe you could come up with $5 or $10 that you were going to blow at the gas station on stuff that you didn't need anyway, and you could just give them a small gift. And you say, well, that's not going to do anything for them. You might just be surprised. Not that it's going to pay their rent or something that month, but, you know, a $5 or $10 gift, even when you're maybe really, you know, counting the pennies, is going to help your own heart as well. It's just amazing when we get creative and find ways to help others, how much it really does change our perspective and give us the ability to withstand the tough time. And it's the same thing in recovering from tough times. You know, am I struggling with grief, or is grief hitting me? Maybe I should go to a grief support group and tell my story and be willing to give my time and my story to that group and just see if that doesn't actually bring healing to my own heart to be willing to share with others. There's just so many ways that when we're struggling with something, if we will get our eyes on how could I help others with this, it's going to help us withstand or recover from a very difficult situation.
Awesome. Yeah, I love all that perspective, and I just love this rule of gifting to others helps me. I just absolutely love this rule.
Yeah.
And just as you guys are listening to this, writing down some ways that you can start implementing this today. What are some things that I can do today to help others, to gift to others, to just enrich not only myself, but the community and the people around me?
That's right. Well, as we're wrapping up season two, I want to say a huge thank you to all our audience, to the new members, the people that have been with us from the beginning. We just appreciate all of you and the feedback that we've gotten. You know, by all means, if you haven't rated us or shared us yet, it would really be helpful for us to get this message out to more people. If you give us that rating, if you're feeling super generous, give us a little review too. Or to share. You could share the episode directly with someone you need to hear it, or you could post and tell people, hey, this podcast is gonna give you some tools, and I've enjoyed it. So a big appreciation to all of you who have been giving encouragement to us and feedback to us. And if you'll help us out in that way, it will help others, I guarantee it.
And another way that you can help out this podcast and help expand our reach and help more people is through filling out that survey, so we can help to better serve you and give you those everyday resilience tools. And if people are interested in working more with us, Coach, and learning more about us, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you know, if you're listening to this and you feel like, man, I need more resilience in my life, great. We would love to serve you more and serve you better, whether that's helping you with your physical training, with sticking to a nutrition plan, whether that's one someone coming and speaking to your group, your team or your group about resilience, or that's just resilience coaching where you've got somebody to talk to once a week about areas in your life where you can improve, then we can help you with all those things. Just reach out to us. I'm coach.ricardo on Instagram or Ricardo Mullinex on Facebook. And how do they get a hold of you?
On Instagram, I'm AltonMullinex17_, and then on Facebook at Coach Alton. Thank you guys for tuning in to all of Season 2 and all the remarkable guests that we've had on. Super pumped for Season 3. Be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
And thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. Go be resilient.
Yeah.
Is someone you know struggling with their high school or college level math course? Math Mastery Tutoring is a locally owned Fort Wayne business that can provide the help that they need. When you schedule a session at mathmasterytutoring.org, you will receive individualized tutoring with the owner of the business who has over 30 years experience helping students gain mastery in their math courses. Visit mathmasterytutoring.org today for rates, availability, testimonials, and to schedule your session with the calculus coach. Again, that's mathmasterytutoring.org. Go check them out.